From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo talks about strong leadership to achieve Golden Indonesia. Saudi Arabia wants to increase investment cooperation with Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Indonesian President Joko Widodo says that strong leadership is needed to achieve the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. He conveyed this when opening the national working meeting of the Indonesian Islamic Dakwah Institute, LDII, at the Minhajur Roshidin Grand Ballroom in East Jakarta on Tuesday. He also affirmed that achieving a Golden Indonesia is not easy and it requires facing various challenges. He gave the example of countries in Latin America which failed to become developed countries, even though in the mid-20th century they were already developing countries. He perceived that the problem lies in opportunities that are not used properly.
Di Amerika Latin, banyak negara gagal melompat menjadi negara maju.
In Latin America, many countries failed to make the leap to become developed countries. In the 50s, 60s, 70s, they were already developing countries. But until now, they have also remained only developing countries. In fact, some have fallen into poor. The problem is being given the opportunity and not using it. This is what we don't want to happen in our country, Indonesia.
Ini yang kita tidak mau itu terjadi di negara kita, Indonesia.
Therefore, the president said that the years 2024 to 2034 are the right momentum that will determine whether Indonesia will move forward or not. Therefore, President Joko Widodo, strong national leadership, unity and solidarity are needed. Saudi Arabia wants to increase investment cooperation with Indonesia. This was the focus of the audience between the Saudi Arabian ambassador to Indonesia, Faisal bin Abdullah Al-Mudi, and the Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin at the Vice President's official residence in Jakarta on Tuesday. Spokesperson for the Vice President Masduki Baidlowi said that Ambassador Faisal hopes that investment movement between the two countries will soon be encouraged as an implementation of people-to-people contacts. During the meeting, both sides agreed to facilitate access for visits between communities as an effort to achieve increased investment by both countries.
Harapan dari Dubes Arab Saudi, dan itu juga disambut oleh Wakil Presiden.
The hope of the Ambassador of Saudi Arabia, and this was also welcomed by the Vice President, is that investment movement between the two countries must be immediately encouraged. This is an implementation of people-to-people diplomacy. So it is no longer countries and countries, but it is person-to-person, community group by community group. How can visit between the two countries not be made difficult, but should be made easier?
Jangan saling dipersulit, tapi justru harus dipermudah.
Baidlowi added that Vice President Ma'ruf Amin also welcomed Ambassador Faisal's wishes positively and would follow up on them by coordinating with the relevant ministries and institutions. On the same occasion, they also discussed the importance of following up on the commitments contained in the formation of the Indonesia-Saudi Arabia High Committee, which was formed on October 20th. Japanese Ambassador to Indonesia Kanasugi Kenji on November 7, 2023 at the Japanese Ambassador's residence handed over a certificate of appreciation to historian Bonnie Triana for his contribution in encouraging understanding of the history of Japanese and Indonesian exchanges. In his remarks, Ambassador Kanasugi hoped that more Indonesians would understand the history of Japan and Indonesia better. On the same occasion, Bonnie said that by revealing history that is not known to the Indonesian public, this can broaden horizon and open the door to friendship between Indonesia and Japan in the future. He also hopes that besides Indonesia, the same thing can also be done in Japan.
Juga dengan harapan hal yang serupa dilakukan di Jepang.
With the hope that something similar will be done in Japan so that it creates an understanding regarding the history of periods that may be bitter for the two nations, which we can also learn from and which can open up an opportunity to understand each other and also strengthen and increase cooperation between the two countries through a more holistic understanding of history, which more complete and more able to increase our understanding regarding relations between the two nations.
Kesepahaman kita terhadap hubungan kedua bangsa.
One of the roles of Bonnie Triana, who is a historian and founder and senior editor of Historia.id, is the scriptwriter and producers of the film Serdadu Yang Tak Kembali, a documentary film broadcast by TVRI. The film tells the story of Japanese soldiers who decided to stay in Indonesia to take part in the Republic of Indonesia's War of Independence. He was also involved in the exhibition Sakura at the Equator, which was held at the Museum of the Formulation of the Proclamation Manuscript. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has emphasized the importance of cross-sectoral collaboration among the member countries of Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN for addressing human trafficking, since it is a transnational crime. She also underlined that ASEAN countries need to strengthen their collaboration in tackling human trafficking as trafficking syndicates are utilizing information technology to lure victims. They were pointed out virtually during the ASEAN Regional Conference on Human Trafficking in Kuta, Bali on Tuesday. She expected all participants at the conference, which was held by the National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, to contribute to safeguarding the protection of human rights, especially for trafficked humans. Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, has emphasized that Indonesia's support for the independence of Palestine will never change. He affirmed that the Indonesian government will continue to carry out lobbying and diplomacy with Islamic countries that have diplomatic relations with Israel to support efforts for a ceasefire. He also stated that the evacuation of Indonesian nationals from Gaza is still being carried out. He then appealed to Indonesian citizens who have chosen to stay in Gaza to remain careful while carrying out their humanitarian duties and not take risk. Meanwhile, Indonesian citizens who have been evacuated are still in Egypt, awaiting their departure to Indonesia. He further said that the Ministry of Defense is currently in the process of sending a military hospital ship of international standard to Palestine that will be used to provide health services to victims in Gaza. Let's move on to the international news, where the International Committee of the Red Cross said a humanitarian convoy carrying life-saving medical supplies came under fire in Gaza City on Tuesday. According to an ICRC statement, the convoy of 5 trucks and 2 Red Cross vehicles was carrying supplies to health facilities, including to Al-Quds Hospital, when it was hit. The ICRC did not specify who had fired at its convoy or from what direction the fire came. William Skomberg, the head of the ICRC sub-delegation in Gaza, said these are not the conditions under which humanitarian personnel can work. The International Committee of the Red Cross said that the ICRC is here to bring urgent assistance to civilians in need. Ensuring that vital aid can reach medical facilities is a legal obligation under international humanitarian law. The government of South Korea has decided to establish new diplomatic missions next year in Botswana and Georgia, as well as 10 other countries. The foreign ministry announced a plan on Tuesday, saying that the new missions will be set up in the two nations, as well as Luxembourg, Lithuania, the Marshall Islands, Suriname, Slovenia, Sierra Leone, Armenia, Estonia, Jamaica, and Zambia. While a rate of 2 missions open per year is the average standard, the push for 12 in 1 year is a first. With the ministry explaining that the nation is seeking to demonstrate its international leadership and strengthen its diplomacy as a global pivotal country. The ministry said the new missions will improve the ability to provide consular services and protect the rights and interests of South Korean nationals and companies in those countries where inconveniences have arisen due to a lack of diplomatic missions. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized that human development is the key to realizing a golden Indonesia vision of 2045. Although the challenges ahead are not easy, the president believes human resource development of aspects such as nationality and religion will encourage the vision's realization. President Joko Widodo conveyed this in his speech when opening the 2023 National Working Summit of Indonesian Institute of Islamic Propagation and the inauguration of Minhajuro Residen Multipurpose Building in Jakarta on Tuesday. Challenges to bring the dream of a golden Indonesia 2045 into reality are not getting any easier. However, the Indonesian head of state is optimistic that the country can face these challenges with a strong spirit of unity. He emphasized that for 2024, 2029, and 2034 are crucial moments for Indonesia, whether it can move forward or not. For this reason, the country needs strong national leadership, unity, and cohesion. Humans are an important factor in national economic development. Therefore, it is very important to invest in human resources to create superior, reliable, and competitive people. The development of human resources is the main focus of the president. In 2019, improving the quality of Indonesians even became the theme of Indonesia's Independence Day, namely, the superior human resources, key to advance Indonesia. Last June, President Joko Widodo launched the National Long-Term Development Plan 2025-2045 to realize the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045. At the time, President emphasized that to achieve the vision, Indonesia needs a leadership that is intelligent, strong, brave, and good at finding solutions. Meanwhile, the superior human resources that Indonesia aspires to are those who master today's skills and knowledge, have strong characters, are virtuous, tolerant, honest, dedicated, and of course, have the Pancasila, or the five principles of Indonesia's ideology values in mind. The main task of creating superior human resources lies in the government. However, the entire Indonesian should take a role in it, starting from the family, school, and surrounding community. In 2045, Indonesia will mark its centennial, known as the Golden Indonesia. By that year, Indonesia is targeted to have become a developed, modern country, on par with the world's superpowers. Thus, investment to create superior human resources should be carried out by all parties, starting from individuals, families, communities, and stakeholders, as well as economic and business actors in the country. In this way, the prepared humans are of better quality and ready to compete with those of other countries. Do you believe that superior Indonesians have high competitiveness value should continue to be strengthened? Quoting the speech of Indonesian First President Sukarno and National Heroes Day on November 10, 1961, "Give me 10 people and I will definitely shake the world." President Sukarno's spirit must be ingrained more firmly in the minds of the entire Indonesian nation.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. On November 8, 1914, when the World Urban Planning Day was established, the Organization for World Urbanization Day, or also known as World Urban Planning Day, was designated on November 8, 1949 by Professor Carlos Maria de la Paulera from the University of Buenos Aires. Today, 30 countries commemorate World Urban Planning Day, or now called World Urbanization Day. The aim of this commemoration is to raise public and professional awareness and appreciation of spatial planning efforts both locally and globally. Let's move on to November 8, 2011, when International Radiology Day was declared. Radiology is a medical science for diagnosing and treating diseases that attack animals and humans through the use of X-rays. X-rays were discovered by Wilhelm Conrad Röntgen on November 18, 1895. X-rays were then named after him, namely Röntgen rays, for his discovery. Röntgen received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1901. International Radiology Day was established in 2011 as a follow-up to European Radiology Day. We end today in history with November 8, 2013, about the commemoration of National Spatial Planning Day. National Spatial Planning Day has been commemorated since 2008. However, this commemoration was implemented by 2013 through Presidential Decree No. 28 of 2013 by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. In this presidential decree, it is also stated the implementation of spatial planning is aimed at creating safe, comfortable, productive, and sustainable space in Indonesia. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Rasakan berpumati bersanding.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on national strategy for business and human rights, an effective tool to support Indonesia's business climate. The Indonesian government continues to accelerate development and economic growth by optimally utilizing the demographic bonus and increasing business certainty and the business climate. This effort was made to achieve the goal of becoming a high-income country and getting out of the middle-income trap. Indonesia needs to increase per capita income to $13,845 before 2040. Quoting the press release from the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs to support this step, the Indonesian government has also taken major steps to carry out structural reforms in the Indonesian economy to avoid the middle-income trap, including Law No. 6 of 2023 concerning the determination of replacement government regulations. Law No. 2 of 2022 concerning job creation or job creation law. In the launching of Presidential Regulation No. 60 of 2023 concerning the National Strategy for Business and Human Rights, on Monday, according to the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, these efforts are the key to increasing capability in mastering technology, carrying out innovation, increasing certainty strive, and create a conducive investment climate through improving the quality of legislation and other regulations under it. In the context of protecting and respecting human rights in Indonesia, especially in the business sector, the Indonesian government has ratified Presidential Regulation No. 60 of 2023 concerning the National Strategy for Business and Human Rights. Erlangga Hartarto explained at the global level, the Indonesian National Strategy for Business and Human Rights is the first national action plan document for business and human rights in the world, which was ratified through a legislative and regulatory policy framework, namely the Presidential Regulation. The National Strategy for Business and Human Rights is a strategic document that contains national policy directions and strategies to encourage the creation of human rights-friendly business and is prepared with the principles of non-discrimination, equality, participation, accountability, and openness. Erlangga Hartarto further said that the National Strategy for Business and Human Rights could be an effective tool to support business and investment that prioritizes human rights in Indonesia and increases the country's competitiveness. Erlangga also explained that one of the mandates in the National Strategy for Business and Human Rights is the formation of task forces both at the national and regional levels. On that occasion, the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs congratulated the establishment of the National Business and Human Rights Task Force, which had just been inaugurated. He also called on the regional government to immediately form and strengthen the Regional Business and Human Rights Task Force. Coordinating Minister Erlangga explained that another thing that needs to be considered in fulfilling human rights is the implementation of public services to the community, particularly vulnerable groups such as the elderly, disabled, children, and pregnant and breastfeeding mothers. Erlangga also invited all parties to commit to realizing human rights-based business and public services in Indonesia to create a just and prosperous Indonesia. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, West Java is well known for its fascinating natural panorama and culture with Sundanese ethnic background. There are many tourism destinations offered in West Java. One of them is Baros Tourism Village, which recently received an award from the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. Baros Village, located in Arjasari District, Bandung Regency, West Java, is designated as one of the 75 best tourism villages in Indonesia by the Indonesian Tourism Village Award team from the ministry. According to the assessment team, Baros Village has the most important strengths, namely people, creativity, mindset, as well as effort and cooperation, collaboration with all parties. Baros Tourism Village has the potential for its natural beauty, ranging from the flow of Cigaluktuk River, whose water is very clear, the expanse of beautiful rice fields, and the interesting culture and culinary delights. You can feel the peaceful rural atmosphere and enjoy the natural beauty and various entertaining cultural attractions. Not only that, various cultural attractions and traditional activities also make a visit to Baros Tourism Village even more memorable. Baros Tourism Village is situated not far from the capital of Bandung District, nearly 16 km from Soreang. Its strategic position makes it easily accessible to tourists from various regions. To enjoy all the beauty and attraction of Baros Tourism Village, you only need to pay an entrance ticket of 25,000 rupiah or $1.06 to enjoy the natural atmosphere and beauty of the Sundanese countryside. This affordable ticket makes it possible for all people to enjoy the beauty of this village. Baros Village is open to visitors from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Western Indonesia time. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto, which means traveling in Sawah Lunto. So stay tuned. Today we're going to present to you a conversation entitled Perajin Souvenir. Perajin Souvenir, which means souvenir crafter. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson and a vlogger from Australia, and Sortauli, Chris Vlog's community friend. In a souvenir shop in Sawah Lunto, West Sumatra province, Sortauli mentioned the origin of the charcoal souvenir crafter. Let's listen to the conversation.
Souvenir patung, asbak, dan ukiran yang berwarna hitam ini terbuat dari batu bara.
Yang membuat warga sekitar.
Ya, perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto. Perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto. Which means, this charcoal crafter comes from Sawah Lunto. Perajin, which means crafter. Batu bara, which means charcoal. Berasal, which means comes from. Dari Sawah Lunto, which means from Sawah Lunto. Souvenir, which means souvenir. Patung, which means statue. Asbak, which means ashtray. Ukiran, which means carving. Berwarna hitam, which means black colored. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto. Perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto. Which means, this charcoal crafter comes from Sawah Lunto. In the sentence, there is an expression, Perajin batu bara, which means charcoal crafter. The word perajin, means someone whose job is making handicraft. In the sentence, perajin batu bara, which means charcoal crafter, means someone whose job is making handicrafts made of charcoal. Let's listen to the other examples to use the word which means a person whose job is making or doing something. Penulis itu sudah menerbitkan 20 buku. Penulis itu sudah menerbitkan 20 buku, which means the writer has been published 20 books. Penulis means someone whose job is writing. Saya seorang pebasket profesional, which means I am a professional basketball player. Pebasket, which means basketball player, in the sentence means someone whose job is playing basketball. In the meantime, oleh-oleh, which means souvenir, means something that is brought home from a place we go to. Another word for oleh-oleh is buah tangan, which also means souvenir. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Souvenir patung, asbak, dan ukiran yang berwarna hitam ini terbuat dari batu bara.
Yang membuat warga sekitar.
Ya, perajin batu bara ini berasal dari Sawah Lunto.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata, tak dapat disentuh walau kau bisa menyentuhnya, tak dapat dirasa walau seluruh ragamu di sana. Dapat kau menjaganya tanpa harus mengurungnya.
Bayangkan sebagai yang tak kasat mata.
Bayangkan bila kau sebagai yang tak kasat mata. Abu yang berterbangan tak dapat melukaimu. Panasnya surya bahkan membuatmu terbuai dan berlagu. Dan kau dapat menyusupi rongga jiwa yang kosong.
Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's music corner presents a song from Bali entitled Tresna Mejohan. The song Tresna Mejohan was composed by Tika Pagraki. The song tells the story of a long-distance relationship. Unfortunately, one of them is not strong enough to have a long-distance relationship, so the relationship has to end. Well, listener, here is the song Tresna Mejohan from Bali, sung by De Ayu. Happy listening.
Thank you.
seipidang beli mai janji teken tiang sing lekar ninggalin tresna ulian iraga mejohang nanging jani beli metilar beli ngorahang kau sing idang nyalanin ajak tiang ulian tresna iraga mejohang sejati ni tiang nu sayang apa ke bali masih nu sayang ken tiang dini start tengah nahan janji-janji aneh pidan gelahan sing kepalas ulian mejohan nanging balitu sing idang ngantos sang tiang buen maniang nanging bali harus tau tiang dini nusakan sayang nusakan sayang sayang kan beli terus nakan beli ganti mati sang tiang beli
mana ni ya dapat dia sesuatu.
Ini serius, Mbak? Beneran, Mbak, saya?